بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, we continue. And just before we continue, there were a few things in the first ayah of Surah Al-A'la, and that is سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. I forgot to mention that one should always know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be remembered by His names that He taught us. And the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us have such a beauty and a nobility and a elevation to them. And so when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when we call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should only do this by the names He taught us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of Surah Al-Isra, قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. That call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or call upon Ar-Rahman. Either call Him Allah or either call Him Ar-Rahman. Whatever you call Him, to Him belongs the most beautiful and perfect of names. So the ayah says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Declare the perfection of the name of your Lord. You ask, what name of my Lord? Then we say the names He taught us. Declare His perfection by remembering Him and calling onto Him by the names He taught us. And they're the 99 names that are found in the ahadith. And there are some that are found in the Qur'an. But anyway, this is what سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى would refer to, the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. Now the question is, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserve that He is praised and He is glorified in such manner? Of course the answer is yes. But why? Why do we praise and why do we glorify Allah Azza wa Jal? What is something I can see with my eye that I can now conclude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most deserving of my praise and gratitude? Well, this is the connection to the second ayah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, and so on, the ayat come. So when you want to say, what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befitting that I praise Him? He says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ, because He's the one that created. That's why He deserves to be praised. No one else can create. So He's the only one that is deserving of being praised, because He is someone, or He is the one that creates and creates alone. Another connection is that the first ayah, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, ended with a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Al-A'la, the Most High. And the question is, this is another connection, if you were to ask, who is Al-A'la? Who is Al-A'la? So that it's answered with the second ayah that comes, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. That is Al-A'la. And so Allah Azza wa Jal begins the second ayah and He says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. الَّذِي خَلَقَ, the one who created. Now in previous surah, we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقَ, that the human being should stare and look carefully from what Allah Azza wa Jal created him from. And in previous surah, for example, Surah Al-Infitar, Allah Azza wa Jal says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ, the one who created you. But in previous surah, this is what's happening. Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the creation of the human being specifically. And He spoke of it in the passive form in the previous surah, مِمَّ خُلِقْ, from what He was created. So Allah Azza wa Jal didn't mention His name. And we said why? Because the previous surah, Surah At-Tariq, from its theme is that Allah Azza wa Jal's name was kept a secret. It wasn't mentioned. Now here in Surah Al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Himself and says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ, the one who created. So now He is not referring to any specific creation. Previous surah were specifying the creation of the human being. Surah Al-A'la is not specifying any creation. It said, Alladhi khalaqa, the one who created. You ask, created what? Then it is referring to the animals, the plants, the human, the sun, the moon, everything he created. Alladhi khalaqa. And the other thing to note is that it came in the passive form, in the active form. What that means is that he was mentioned. Alladhi khalaqa, the one who created. So there was a reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why? Because this surah begins with a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabbih isma rabbik al-a'la. So there's nothing kept secret in this surah anymore. So you're going to find the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah. For example, you read, illa ma sha'a Allah, sanuqri'uka fala tansa illa ma sha'a Allah. The name of Allah will repeat in this surah, because the surah before, which was Surah Al-Tariq, one of its themes was to keep Allah's name a secret. So you will not find the name Allah in that surah. But now this surah is like Surah Al-A'la is coming to fill in that void in where Allah's name wasn't filled. So now this surah comes and it says, it speaks and mentions the word, the name Allah. As a matter of fact, you find it in the first ayah, Al-A'la, already a name of Allah. So he says in this ayah, Alladhi khalaqa. And it is referring to all the creation, and it's in the active form. In other words, it's Allah Azza wa Jal who is creating. Now the surah also, it began with Sabbih isma rabbika. That was another name of Allah that was mentioned, rabbika. And Rabb is a name for Allah Azza wa Jal, which means the Lord, the Master. That's the first thing Allah told us about Himself. And this is very important to understand. He introduced Himself as Rabb, as a Lord, as a Master. And we said, when you think of a Master on one side, what do you think of on the other side? A slave. Just like if you are thinking a teacher, you think a student on the other hand. The first thing you have to acknowledge in your life is that you have a Master that you have to worship. And when you think of a Master, then obviously the slave is always fearful of this Master. And he acknowledges that there's higher authority and that he is a slave. He's enslaved to this Master. This is all what comes in the slave's mind when he thinks of a Master. So Allah began this surah by saying, Rabbika. Then he said about himself, Alladhi khalaqa, the one who created. The second thing he told us about himself is that he is the creator. Now, why is it important that he said he's the Lord first, then he's the Creator second? Because most of humanity, and this comes a lot in the Quran, they acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Creator. As a matter of fact, this is a lesson that you take in the beginning chapters of the books of Tawheed and the books of Aqeedah, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Creator. And no one has doubt in this. The mushrik, the worst of the mushrik in Quraysh, acknowledged that Allah created him. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. If you were to ask them, who created you, they will say, Allah created us. So there's no one that has doubt in this. Unless it's a group of atheists that came and said, there is no creator, no nothing. But anyway, even their argument is not proven by anything. It's just a desire that they follow. So what is important is that Allah Azza wa Jal, He begins this ayah, or begins this surah, by first introducing Himself as the Lord, as the one deserving to be worshipped, and that you must enslave yourself to Him. And then the second thing He says is that He's the Creator. That's the second thing, because it's not something everyone differs on. We can all agree that Allah created everything. But the first thing is the Lordship, is where the difference between a Muslim and a kafir comes up. The difference between a Muslim is that he accepts Allah as his Rabb. But the kafir, although he acknowledges Allah is Al-Khaliq, the Creator, he doesn't accept that Allah is his Rabb, that he is supposed to enslave himself to him. He doesn't acknowledge and accept that I owe him something. I owe him nothing. He created me and then so on. For this is why Allah Azza wa Jal began the surah by saying, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. And then it's like he's saying that you will never be able to declare the perfection of Allah. You will never be able to make complete tasbih of Allah unless you first accept Him as your master. Once you acknowledge that you're a slave and you hold all these responsibilities of a slave, then and only you'll be able to make proper tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions that he has the rights over us, Rabbika, and then his name, the Creator, is mentioned later, which is the second thing. Now, not only did he create, not only الَّذِي خَلَقَ, he also فَسَوَّى. That's another thing. After he created, he perfected, and he fashioned, and he basically molded the creation. And فَسَوَّى comes from the word تَسْوِيَة. And تَسْوِيَة means to even and to balance things out. So every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been intricately evened out. Everything has been balanced and everything has been proportioned. So for example, if you were to take the creation of the human, his left side and his right side is balanced. If you were to go into even more further detail, you know that there is fluid in your left ear and in your right ear. If the fluid in the right ear was to increase and it wasn't leveled with this ear, then you have a headache. For Allah Azza wa Jal, He created everything and He balanced it. Even if you're to speak about fluids that are within yourself that you don't even know of, this is all balanced out. And He balanced you out physically and spiritually as well. So يعني, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us about food, he says a third for food for your stomach and a third for water and a third for air. It's all balanced. Everything in life is balanced. As a matter of fact, this whole ummah was referred to as ummatan wasata, a balanced nation. Why? Because every other nation doesn't have a balance. So for example, if you were to speak about the Christians, they have a lot of action, but they don't have enough knowledge. If you were to speak about the Jews, they have a lot of knowledge. They take care about their knowledge and their history and so on. But when it comes to action, they have nothing. So Islam, or this ummah, was known as the middle nation, ummatan wasata, because it is the middle between these two nations. How? Islam teaches us that the more knowledge you have, the more action you have. So they remain balanced. The more you go up with your knowledge, the more you should be going up with your action. And that only when this happens with you, then you are يعني, considered as ummatan wasata. So يعني, even to understand this further, when you say الَّذِي خَلَقَ, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He created. How powerful and how magnificent and how miraculous is this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so amazing and so remarkable that Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us in one ayah, He says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Think of this. If you want to think of how magnificent Allah's creation is, Allah is saying that if all the humans were to combine their efforts together and all to get together for just one purpose, one thing, and that is to create a single fly, they will not be able to create a fly. Then he takes this even further and he says, وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْهُ. Forget about creating the fly. If the fly was to eat something, then if all humanity were to come and combine efforts to bring this out of its stomach, they won't be able to do that. So as much as technology advances, the only thing we can do is a robot. That's the only proper thing, or the only close thing to a creation is a robot. But that's not even close. Because a creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, what it has and the limbs and what's going on inside and how it thinks for itself and what it does for itself, that's a totally different thing. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He matches all this combined human effort and He's saying it will never be possible. How does Allah Azza wa Jal create? How does Allah create? With one word. Kun. and it's there. So compare all this, and they're not able to create with the word of Allah, kun fayakun. For example, the case of Isa alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal says, خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. These millions of humans that exist and have existed and will exist are only one command that happened long time ago. It was kun, and it all existed. That's the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, even when you compare, like, what is, for example, if we're to take clay, the best thing we did with clay, with mud, with soil, was a brick. That's the best thing we did with it. And then we built a shelter above our house. But yet the same thing we did a brick with, Allah made a human being with. So there's the difference between what we create and what Allah Azza wa Jal creates. And then the creation will die. They'll all perish. Some will be buried. Some will be burnt. Some will drown. Some humans will be eaten by wild animals. The end of the day, everyone will finish. Everyone will go. How does Allah Azza wa Jal bring them all back? With one loud yell in the trumpet. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. Just one blow of breath in the trumpet brings everyone back. So this is the magnificent power of the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Khaliq, the Creator. And if I think of it this way, then you appreciate it much better. So الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. And this is تَسْوِيَ سَوَّى, meaning he perfected the creation. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Now this waw, it is referred in the Arabic language as waw al-atf. What basically it implies is that this third ayah is connected to the first ayah. So this is how we read. We read, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Then we read, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So the first ayah is for the second ayah, and the first ayah is also for the third ayah. This is how it is understood. So basically now saying this, it translates to like this. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, declare and acknowledge the perfection of Allah Azza wa Jal's name, the Most High, who does another two things, and they are قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. قَدَّرَ means that he destined, he decreed, فَهَدَى, and then he guided. What does that mean? He destined, he decreed, and then he guided. قَدَّرَ, which is basically the مصدر of it, is تَقْدِير, and which is actually the verbal noun. Verbal noun, مصدر, is تَقْدِير. And تَقْدِير is to plan, to calculate, to have an exact, precise calculation at hand and it's ready. And for example, if you say someone that engages in an architectural project, or a builder, or a designer, before they do their work, they have a plan, right? So they draw the plan of how wide this is going to be, the length, the depth, the material that's going to be used for the project, and so on. This is taqdeer. When you do this before your job, this is taqdeer. Now, for the one who doesn't plan before he does anything, then he just can do some guesswork, you know, and just do anything. It won't come out as good. But someone that plans before his work, then this process is called taqdeer. Listen to this now. We learn in ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the taqdeer, the decree of the entire universe and everything that exists, happened 50,000 years before Allah created anything. We all know this, yes? Subhanallah. Compare this to human effort. We know in human effort that the more you plan for something ahead of time, the better it is when you execute it. This is what we know. Allah Azza wa Jal planned 50,000 years before He created anything. If we ourselves acknowledge and we know, as humans, the more you plan for something, the better the result, the better it comes out. And if you do something without prior planning, then it comes out failed, it comes out a bad project. What the message is, why does Allah Azza wa Jal What's the wisdom behind him planning 50,000 years before? To teach us humans, don't rush. Plan for something so it can be perfect. Plan so you can have perfection. Although Allah Azza wa Jal could have created it in an instant, it didn't need that much planning. But Allah could have created it in an instant. But the wisdom behind this is to teach me and you, don't rush. There's no need for rushing. So this is the wisdom you learn behind the taqdeer of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if that's 50,000 years before, then of course we should be planning before we execute any of our plans, whether it's for this world or whether it's for the hereafter. And the previous ayah, it spoke about the creation, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, and this ayah is speaking about the planning, the execution, the calculation of every last minor detail. قَدَّرَ, when Allah Azza wa Jal decreed 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth, and before He created us all, that's when the taqdeer of you happened, for example. So the eye color, your skin color, your hair color, when you'll come out, where you'll come out, if you'll get sick, if you get better, who you'll get married to, what kind of children you have, what your rizq is, where you're going to die, what job you're going to have. All this happened before 50,000 years of any existence. Creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the taqdeer process of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah created and He perfected and He planned everything. But a plan has no purpose and it's useless if there's no guidance for it. What that means is, I give you an example. If you have a job site and you've planned for a team to come tomorrow to your job site to do some work, then there is no use of the workers being there if you don't go and meet them there and tell them, give them instructions, you do this, you do that. So everything could go to plan, the workers are at the job site tomorrow 7 in the morning, but it's useless if you're not there giving them instructions and guidance. Do this, you do that, you do this, it's useless. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So He did the taqdeer, He planned everything, and then on top of this, He guided all the creation. He guided it all. فَهَدَى, the scholars say that the hidayah is of two types. There's hidayah kawniyah and hidayah shar'iyah. Now, this is how we understand فَهَدَى. There is this guidance of creation. So for example, Allah Azza wa Jal, He decreed the human being. Then He created the human being. Then the human being came out. Now, when a human being goes to school or he goes to university, there are things we learn so later on we can do in life. But the question is, when you came out of your mother's womb, who taught you how to get to the breast and suckle the milk, for example? This is قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. It is Allah that guided you there. Who guided the milk to be produced in the mother and then eventually be moved all the way to the breast? Who guided that? And it comes at the right time. So before your creation, there's nothing. And exactly the time you come out is when there's exactly the milk that the baby needs. So this is قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah guided it to that direction. Allah Azza wa Jal, He decreed your rizq, for example. Qaddar, He decreed your rizq. Then fahada, He guided you to find your rizq. So He guides you to your job, the way you get there. Or He guides you to where you're going to eat, or where you're going to find your money, or where you're going to find your shelter, or where you're going to find your wife. This is all the rizq Allah that He decreed for you, then He guided you to it. You have also that Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, He decrees for someone to die in a certain country. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, He makes an excuse for you to travel to that country. So there's some job opportunity comes up in that country. Or there's some family you want to visit in that country. So you travel from here, you get there, and Allah takes your soul there. So He decreed that you're going to die there, and then He guided you to get there by making a reason for you to get there. And subhanAllah, you even understand this ayah on the very smallest of Allah's creation. So for example, take the ant. You know, an ant, you watch a documentary about the ants, an ant doesn't build its house anywhere. It must build it on an elevated level so it can avoid floods. So an ant will always build its house on an elevated level. Now an ant, where can it see where what is level, what is high and what is low? Who guided it to get up to an elevated level and build its house there? Allah Azza wa Jal. So He qaddar, He decreed it, and He created it, and then He guided it to where it should get to. Even the ant, when for example it rains, what the ant does is after the rain, it takes its seeds out and its food and it puts it out in the sun so it doesn't rot because of the moisture. And even before this, when it takes a seed, before it takes it inside the house, what the ant does is that it eats the sides of the seed. Because if it was to take the seed as it is and put it in, there's a fear that this seed might grow and become a plant because it's under the earth. So it eats its sides, so now that's it, it's a dead seed, it can't grow. The question is, who guided the ant to do this? Where did it learn this from? It didn't go to university or a school and it graduated and had this knowledge. This is وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. You know, you see an animal, it's born. An elephant, it drops from its mother the moment it's born. And then it takes a few minutes for it to wake up and then to stand. The first thing it goes is to the breast. Who taught it this? وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. It is Al-A'la, the Most High, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the Hidayah al-Kawniyah. This is the guidance of creation in general, how Allah Azza wa Jal guided everything He created. The second type of Hidayah, we said Hidayah Shar'iyah. Hidayah Shar'iyah. And this is referring to the prophets and the messengers and the books and the laws Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. So Allah didn't just create us and leave us like this. He sent prophets, He sent messengers, and He sent books. And these prophets and books are supposed to guide us till we get to Allah Azza wa Jal's ultimate pleasure and to get to the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this is وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. It's understood on the two sides. Just general things, and this is, it's referred as kawniyah and hidayah shar'iyah. In other words, He guided us by sending the prophets and the messengers and books and revelation to bring us out of the darkness we're in and to guide us to the light. And this is where we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, He gives us an example of this creative process. خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. An example of this is وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. This is an example. And it is He who brought out the pasture. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. أَخْرَجَ, it basically means to take or to pull something out. And al-mar'a comes from the verb ra'a. Ra'a is the pasture, the grazing, the feeding, when you feed the animals. Ra'i, a ra'i, is the shepherd because he takes care of animals of the pasture. Mar'a is the name of a place. We refer to it as ism makan. And it is referring to a place that is a lot of greenery. And the purpose of this place is for animals to come and graze and eat off. So, الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى, is it Allah Azza wa Jal that brought this produce, this greenery from the earth. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to that of an example of His perfectly calculated and planned design. In the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about another kind of khuruj. He said, يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. He spoke about the human being, that his origin comes out from between the backbone and التَّرَائِبِ, the ribcage. That was the khuruj that Allah spoke of in the previous surah. Now He speaks of a different type of khuruj, and that is the greenery that comes out from the earth. And subhanAllah, what He's referring to is that one, the first one, it comes out alive from the womb of the mother, and the second one comes out alive from the womb of the earth. They're both related and they're both connected, and that's how we see the parallel between Surah Al-Tariq and Surah Al-A'la. So he says, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. He brought it out. Then he says, فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Then he made it black. Now, غُثَاء, he turned this green, this grazing field, this greenery that came out of the land, he turned it and he made it into a color referred or known as ahwa. Ahwa is a really dark black, green, reddish color, which is really dark. And the word ghutha, it comes from ghathayan, that's the verbal noun for it. And ghathayan, basically, literally what it means, it's the want to vomit. And vomiting, of course, is a process of something from the stomach coming out. So now when Allah says ghutha'an, what he's referring to is that the dry dead leaves and the dry dead plants, he pulled them all out and he placed them all on top of each other by a strong wind that came and collected everything and put it in one place. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. After he brought it out, this is what happens to it at the end. It dies and it becomes dry, the plants and the leaves, and a strong wind comes and blows it all, and it's collected all in one place. Ahwa is a dark black color, but it comes from, ahwa is actually a superlative form. So in other words, it's referring to a really, really dark black color. And hawahu, for example, this word hawahu in the Arabic language, it means to bring things together, two things together. And what this is referring to is that when you have a black and red color together, you get a really, really dark color. So in other words, it's two colors mixed together that gives you a really dark color. And what it implies is that there is some kind of vegetation that when it fully matures, when it fully ripens, then they have this sort of texture to it that it becomes really, really green and red. It gives like a dark color. And when you see the fruit dark, when you see the plant dark, it is telling you that it's reached maturity. It's become at a ripe stage. And also, a dark color for a plant can refer to that this plant has gone bad. It's done. It's black, it's dead. So darkness for a plant, it is a sign for two things. It's very important to understand. Darkness is a sign that the plant is mature, it's ripened. And darkness is a sign that the plant's gone bad. It's done, it's rotten, it's finished. A great number of ulama consider this ayah to be talking about vegetation that was so wonderful at the beginning and then it's reduced to rubbish. That's it, it turns black, it's rotten, it's unedible. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is contrasting how He creates and then how He destroys the exact same creation. So a few weeks ago, it was mar'a. It was nice and green. And a few weeks later, it became ghutha and ahwa. It's died, it's become rotten. Some of the ulama disagree and they say that this ayah is showing us that the plant has reached a mature age and it's ripened. Now, it depends on which of the two meanings you take this, and it will have an impact on the rest of the surah. So if this ayah is talking about that the best of plantation becomes the worst after a few weeks and it becomes destroyed, then this is a comparison of the enjoyments of this world and how they turn into rubbish at the end. And so this is why at the end of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Later on when we get there, we'll identify this contrast that Allah is bringing. And if it's talking about that the plant is green at the beginning, then it becomes غُثَاء and أَحْوَى, meaning it becomes dark. If it is referring to it being mature and it hasn't died and it hasn't gone bad, then what actually it's referring to is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is like it's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you should not be worried that the Qur'an, as it's recited, you're going to forget the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an will reach a mature level, and then the da'wah will be spread, so don't worry about the memorization of it. Now this comes in the second ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We'll conclude with this ayah. قَرَأَ means to recite. أَقْرَأَ means to make someone recite. Allah is saying سَنُقْرِئُكَ. Allah is saying soon, this scene refers to soon in the future, soon we'll make you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be able to recite and read. And this, subhanAllah, is a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when the angel Jibreel came to the Messenger, when he was on the mountain in Ghar Hira, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئِ. I'm not a reciter. I'm not able to read. I cannot read. But Allah is saying in this ayah, سَنُقْرِئُكَ. We will soon make you read. Meaning this ability of reciting isn't something the Prophet ﷺ had. It is something that was given to him. Allah gave him. So the fact that the Messenger ﷺ recited Qur'an already proves that the Qur'an is a miracle. Because it said سَنُقْرِئُكَ, and this is what actually happened. And this ayah is referring to the surah that are going to come in the future because of the word or the letter seen. Seen indicates the future. And why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the future? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's concerned that he might forget the Qur'an or what was revealed to him. And he is also concerned that there is no guarantee that he'll live up to the demands of this revelation. So he's very concerned. And this concern occurs in three places in the Qur'an. This is the third one. The others is when Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلَ أَن يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُ. Allah says to the Messenger, do not hasten with the recitation of the Qur'an before it's revealed to you. Don't hasten, don't rush. Allah Azza wa Jal tells him in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, or in Surah Al-Qiyamah, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Don't rush your tongue with it so you can acquire the Qur'an quickly. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. He wants to acquire and memorize the Qur'an. Why is he concerned for? When this ayah is revealed, it's giving comfort to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سَنُقْرِئُكَ. Don't worry, we'll give you the ability to recite and to memorize. But why is the Messenger concerned? And why is he rushing after Jibreel to try to memorize everything? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is very, very aware that he is carrying in his heart the message of salvation for the rest of humanity and for all generations to come. And so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has this enormous sense of responsibility. And one of the things that was nerve-wracking to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he might forget even a piece of it. So that's why he's concerned. Because he holds a message that is supposed to be the salvation for every single person to come after him. Imagine that is your responsibility. So he becomes very nervous and very worried. What about if I forget a single letter or a single word of this message that is for everyone to come after me? And subhanAllah, you won't appreciate it until you think of it from a student's perspective. You know, for example, if you start worrying about one part of your studies, you start forgetting the other part of your studies. So say for example, you're in a classroom and the teacher is lecturing you. And you're worried too much with writing everything down. But when you become over worried and concern yourself with writing everything, what is the thing that you don't pay attention to is paying attention actually. That's the second half that you'll miss. So now you're concerned with writing so much, at the end you'll look at your notes and you'll say, what did I write? I don't know what I wrote. Why? Because you focus too much on writing and you didn't focus on paying attention. So you took one thing and you forgot the other. Now, when you focus on one thing, you lose track of other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want the focus of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be on memorizing. He doesn't want him to focus only on memorizing, because that'll distract him from what Allah Azza wa Jal deems more important. So he says, don't worry, سَنُقْرِئُكَ. He removes this concern away from him, this memorizing concern. He says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ. We will make you recite. The surah, subhanAllah, it began with, سَبِّحِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Declare the perfection of your Lord. Now many scholars, they comment on the language of this ayah, and they say that when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledges the beauty and perfection of Allah's names, that will make him, or that will make his burden of memorizing very light. And then, if he was to reflect on the creation of Allah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, if he reflects on that everything has been created and precisely calculated and has been planned, and everything has its time, and everything has been created and grows and is made for a purpose until it reaches maturity, as we said, just like that, just like everything is created and perfected and it reaches this mature level, also you should know that this revelation that is coming onto you is part of this decree and plan of Allah. You're no exception. So, سَنُقْرِئُكَ, we are going to make you recite and memorize. It's upon us. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. And now you should not worry about anything, because this is not in your hand. It is a plan that Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed. Look around you, see how everything grows according to Allah's plan. You should know that acquiring the Qur'an, all of it in your chest and in your heart, is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. So relax. وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ, Allah says, relax, take it easy. For the time being, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, declare the perfection of the name of your Lord. Look around you and ponder over the creation. And just like everything runs smoothly by Allah's plan, also the collection of the Qur'an is going to be smoothly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. And then he concludes this ayah and he says, فَلَا تَنْسَى, فَلَا تَنْسَى, then you will not forget. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his concern was that he'll forget the Qur'an and forget what Allah Azza wa Jal has said to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, I have taken that responsibility that you will not forget. فَلَا تَنْسَى, you will not forget. And you know, this is why grammar becomes very important in this ayah. Because most of us, when we read فَلَا تَنْسَى, I will translate as, then do not forget. Do not forget. Making it sound like a command. Making it sound like a command. And it is important, because when you see this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تَنْسَى. How it's written? Ta, Noon, Seen, and then there's an Alif Maqsura. The difference is this Alif Maqsura. If this Alif Maqsura wasn't he, then the ayah would have probably been a bigger burden on the Prophet ﷺ. Because what it would have meant is that then, make sure you don't forget. It would have been a command. فَلَا تَنْسَى. If it was only a seen, and the Alif Maqsura was removed, that's a command. That's in Arabic language, that's a command. And if it's a command, it would have made the burden even more on the Prophet ﷺ. We're going to make a recite, you make sure you don't forget anything. But a mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that Alif Maqsura was there. When that Alif Maqsura is there, it means then you will not forget. I mean, don't worry, we will acquire this Qur'an in your heart, you will not forget nothing of it. Don't worry, it is upon us. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the ayah that's after, we'll stop here, but he says, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, that you will not forget except what Allah Azza wa Jal wills for you to forget. And this opens up the chapter of An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh fil Qur'an, the abrogated ayat in the Qur'an. So what does that mean? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ayat, then later on He makes him forget it, and it reveals other ayat. And this subhanAllah يعني, is an ideology with one deviated sect in Islam. Or probably some don't even count it in Islam. And this is the Shia. They have this idea, and this is one of their main principles, is something known as Al-Bada'. Al-Bada' to them, wal-iyadhu billah, this is a pillar in their religion to believe in this concept Al-Bada'. And the concept basically what it says is that they believe that Allah doesn't have the complete knowledge of all things. So if He sees later on, if He was to see something is fitting better than the plan or the idea that it's on, then He'll change it. So this is why the Nasikh comes. So Allah Azza wa Jal was sort of like He was on one ayah, for example, one law, and then later on, there's something better. So let's get this ayah away and give the Prophet a new ayah. Well, wal-iyadhu billah, this is one of their main principles. All the Shia, all the dominations, whatever sect it is, they have five main principles. This is one of their principles, Al-Bada'. So, يعني, it's why it becomes very important to study An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh in the Qur'an, the abrogated ayat. And why does Allah Azza wa Jal do this for? Why does He reveal an ayah and then later on He removes it, He takes it away? For this, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll explain in the weeks to follow, or next week, inshaAllah ta'ala. And you know, subhanAllah, why does Allah say, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ? Why does it beautifully come in this surah especially? Because the Shia, we just learn what their concept is. How does this surah begin? سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. You know, declare the perfection of your Lord. What they say isn't the perfection of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have actually destroyed the name of Allah, Al-Alim. Al-Alim. So, and actually Allah puts it in this surah because this ayah is, until you understand what abrogation is, then and only you have يعني, declared the perfection of your Lord. And remember we said, سَبِّحْ means to disassociate Allah Azza wa Jal from any imperfection or defect. And what the Shia do is they are giving an imperfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying He doesn't have complete knowledge over all things. يعني, beautifully coming in this surah, inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll explain this. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.